We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Chris Biederman, still being an intrepid NBA reporter out in Washington, D.C. tonight. So I will have Joe Shasky of the Morning Roast at 95.7 The Game. You can check him out 6 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday on 95.7 The Game. Before we get to that, though, I want to tell you about our friends at Lamb Chops. We love Lamb Chops, the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. Check them out, sglambchops.com. Use promo code Candlestick20 to get 20% off your order. Hoodies, shorts, sweatpants, t-shirts, everything they got is high quality. It looks great, and it's going to be your favorite article of clothing. I have two hoodies. I make sure one is clean at all times, so I can make sure that I have it to wear during hoodie season, which it still is. I'm clinging to it. The last vestiges of hoodie season, I'm hanging on just to wear my lamb chops. So head to sglambchops.com today. Use promo code Candlestick20 and get 20% off your order. We're also sponsored by Prize Picks. We love Prize Picks. It is daily fantasy sports made easy. 2 to 6 players. They got stat projections. You pick more or less on those stat projections, and then you watch the winnings pile up, or in my case, you watch the L's pile up. But hey, it's March Madness. There's college basketball going on. Women's college basketball going on. There's Dodger NBA baseball. Stuff. Dodger baseball, of course. We love our Dodgers. We'll talk about it. We love Prize Picks. So check them out. PrizePicks.com/Candlestick. Promo code Candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That is PrizePicks.com/Candlestick. Promo code Candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. $100. All right, let's get to Joe.
Blue Wire. Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Kittle in Denver territory. Kittle is gonna go. Touchdown.
Close has got him in a second back inside the 30.
All right, man. Dodgers, your thoughts?
Oh, dude. Honestly, Mookie Betts is probably one of my favorite non-Giants of all time.
He's unbelievable.
He is just a joy to watch. My dad, before he passed, said that he was the closest thing to Willie Mays in terms of the way he ran the bases and how he had no hole in his game, and how if Willie was tasked to play shortstop, he would have been the best shortstop in the game simultaneously. Yeah. And you're watching Mookie Betts literally play every single position on the field. The guy hit 39 home runs and batted 301, and it was a down year.
Outrageous, dude. And then they went, hey, could you just be our starting shortstop on a World Series contender, please? He's like, yeah, I got it.
I don't think people understand how difficult that is.
It's totally just ridiculous. This is Joe Shasky, by the way. Bonte and Shasky there, the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game, 6 to 10 a.m. every single day on the Bay Area's finest sports radio station. How are things, man?
Dude, just chilling. I'm finally like ready for the offseason of the Niners. I'm ready for the Warriors to figure out what they're going to do in terms of, you know, are they going to actually make the play-in, or are they going to like lose to the Rockets? And then I'm ready for what I would consider – is that my camera? Is it my doing something screwing up?
No, you're good.
Oh. And then I'm waiting for baseball to start up. But I'm ready for football. Like, I'll be real with you. There was about a two-month period I didn't want to talk football. Like, I was still, I'm still like forever going to be just heartbroken the way the Super Bowl went down, you know? And there are certain games you just never get over. 2011, January 2012, losing to the New York Giants the way that they did. Obviously, the Super Bowl the next year. Obviously, the Seattle game after that. 1998, you know, 1991, technically 1990 season. Like, there are just so many seminal losses that stick in my head that I just, I hate how we lost. Jimmy G losing in to Kansas City the first time, you know, like brutal, losing Aaron Donald the way they did. This one was different, man. And not that those ones aren't like horrific. You lost in overtime to maybe the greatest quarterback ever, and you've become his Cincinnati Bengals to his Joe Montana Hall of Fame resume. Isn't it horrible?
Dude, I went into that game, and I don't, dude, there's people listening to this that are like, fuck, I don't want to listen to the Super Bowl.
I'm sorry.
But no, 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 it's fine. It's fine. Hopefully this is cathartic for some people, because it was for me. Like, I was that, I used to be kind of that same way, but with this job, like, I'm writing about it, and then I'm podcasting about it, and then I got to go on the radio and talk about it, and it just helps kind of work through it. I went into the game, this sucks. I went into the game going, well, there's no way that they can lose that's going to really kill me unless they like blow a lead and lose in overtime. And then of course that's how it goes down. But I'm with you, man. With this offseason and with the way things kind of move with the NFL calendar, and of course you and I are lucky that we're in sports talk radio, so there's always something else going on and you don't have to harp on it for too awful long. So we're in the midst of free agency. We're about a month and change away from the NFL draft. The biggest question for me is, what is your confidence level? Because I know where mine is, but where is your confidence level that this group of players can pick themselves back up off the mat for the fifth time in 6 years and go make another deep playoff run?
I mean, I think they're going to be a double-digit win team. Like, that is like written in stone to me, because they just have too many high-level players, right? Just to me. I mean, unless we're talking about something catastrophic happening at the quarterback position, but like, I just think they have too many high-level players. Now, here's what I would say: I look at Philadelphia, the emotional toll of the year prior, losing the way they did in the Super Bowl. I think it did catch up to them, and they won so many close games, and eventually the bottom just fell out. But they had deep personnel issues. I don't know. Like, again, barring injuries, I don't think the Niners have some deep personnel issues at one particular position group. Linebacker killed the Eagles. And then sloppy play from the running back and the quarterback simultaneously late in the season. It's something weird happened with A.J. Brown. But the bottom fell out for them. They were 10-1 before they faced the Niners.
It was Big Dom, dude.
Big Dom, that piece of garbage. I mean, Jesus. Don't touch players. Like, just stay off the field, dog. But, like, I do believe, like, and they made the playoffs. And by the time they got there, they looked like a team that was ready for Cancun. And I just, I worry about the emotional toll that you're referencing. It is difficult, but they have so many high level players at every single position group. Offensive line, they still got Trent. You know, defensive line, they still have Nick Bosa. Linebacker, they still have Warner. We know that they have great skill players. Quarterback, they still got Brock Purdy. In the secondary, there's like two or three really promising players that are, or guys, veteran, like, you know, Travarius Ward, who's played high-level ball as of late. So, like, I'm very encouraged, but they have to reload. Like, and you have to kind of create new identities. This Ayuk thing, I'd be lying if I didn't say I'm worried.
Sure. What in particular worries you about it?
Well, I don't love spending $60 million, give or take, on wide receivers just in general when that's not the ethos of the team. And I've seen from this coach, running the ball is paramount. And, you know, like, I just – I don't know if it's the greatest allocation of money. But here's the other side of that coin. When the quarterback's making $1 million, what better way to spend $65 million is on two other wide receivers, right? So I can see both ends of this.
The place I land on it is you have Purdy under a cheap deal at least for one more year.
Yeah.
And probably just for one more, but maybe if there's some up and downs this year, maybe they give it the full 4-year contract. But next year is when I think it becomes a crunch where you maybe have to say to me, it's a choice long term between Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel and George Kittle. And to me, that's a no-brainer. This is your franchise quarterback that you are building around, that you have decided, hey, this is going to be our guy. This is the guy we're going to pay. And he has a great rapport with this receiver who cooks in all the areas that he is good at throwing the football. This is one of the best young receivers in the league. Why would you not want to keep that player around instead of trying to squeeze out the last bit of juice from this core that you've been riding since 2019? That just doesn't track for me. At some point, you have to start moving your roster into the next phase. And if that means that, you know, George Kittle, as much as he has meant to this team, has to go, then that's how it goes. That's the NFL. Same thing with Deebo Samuel, whether it's Kyle Juszczyk or whoever it is. I think at some point you have to start committing to youth. And that's where I think signing Ayuk is paramount.
I think what was evident to me in the Super Bowl, like, again, you lost in the Super Bowl in overtime. So I'm not pretending like we're talking about the Commanders roster. But what was evident to me was, yeah, you wasted a lot of picks on a quarterback who's not here. Like, you could have used a couple of those picks to just be a little more athletic on the perimeter, on the defensive line, and maybe that third skill receiver. You know what I mean? Like, a second tight end that they've been searching for forever. So, like, they missed not having that cover. And let's say you only hit one of the two or three first-rounders, and you hit one of the second-rounders. That's still two extra playmakers on one or both sides of the ball. Like, that is the difference. It was literally a one-play game. The margins are so thin.
It's so crazy. If Purdy completes that third down throw at the end of regulation, it's like you said, the margin's so thin. And this is not the conversation we're having, but it's just funny how it goes from, wow, they blew it. Look at this. When it was, if there's pass interference, let's say it's not even a complete pass. Let's say the defender just drags Ayuk down and there's PI and extends a drive. They kick the game winning field goal. It's like, wow, what a genius. Everybody's amazing. And they didn't even do anything different. The defense is the team that messed up. So no, I'm with you. The margin for error was so small, and the roster will for the most part look the same, but man, it's a really, really good team. But how much better would they have looked with a first round guard playing right
tackle.
Or a tackle. Or
anything. Or another defensive lineman. Like, you spent a ton of money on Javon Hargrave, and I'd say he was like a B plus.
He was just okay for me.
You know what I mean? But like, I'm trying to be fair because he was better than what they had the year prior. Which
that's true. That's true.
Non-existent, right? Like, it was an upgrade, but it was an overpay. I think we can all see that. And to me, he's a guy that's probably not here next year. You know, like, I think he screams it. I'm not surprised they moved off Armstead, quite frankly. Like, they paid him DN money. He moved into the inside and was getting paid D tackle money, or excuse me, DN money playing D tackle. He's a good player. Like, and it's the same thing I say about, you know, Hargrave. I want you on my team, but at what price point? You know what I mean? And that's where I think the NFL can get very, very, very tricky. And I look at Brandon Ayuk now that we go back full circle here. Brandon Ayuk is an excellent player. I want Brandon Ayuk on my team. But do I want to spend $60 million on one gadget guy, and a high profile gadget guy, and then the other guy is not necessarily your number one because that other guy exists and the coach is infatuated with him?
Dude, Ayuk's the one. Ayuk's the one, though. He gets the most targets. He gets the most catches. He's the one.
I think that there's something to be said. I really like Kyle Shanahan. I think he's too close to some of these guys. I think Debo's one of them. And I don't think that's a fault. Like, I do think, like, Steve Kerr is a great, great all-time legend, right? I think he got a little too close to some of the players. I think Belichick is the complete reversal, where his way of being cold and calculated worked for so long, but at some point it did him in the end.
So hang on. Okay, so should they have not paid Deebo Samuel then?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I think is that sometimes he listens to Deebo, because Deebo, if you hear him, Kyle, I want the ball. Kyle, I want to do this. Like, they have a very open line of communication. Mm-hmm. I'm reading between the lines of podcasts, things that he said on the, is it, Wake and Kay Adams, Wake whatever show that she does.
What's it? Up and Adams.
Yeah, wherever Debo's getting paid to go on that show. But, like, you know, I'm just reading between the lines. And clearly mm-hmm. Trent has a ton of influence and Fred Warner has a ton of influence. And you want your players to feel like they're empowered and have, you know, thought mm-hmm. on the game plan. If you watch the quarterback doc, Andy Reid's like, yeah, me and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce sometimes we'll just come up with stuff. We're talking about three Hall of Famers, you know, mm-hmm. and I love Debo. Man, he's injured a lot. He's mm-hmm. not a traditional wide receiver. You know, he does a lot of great things and it's redundant. Some mm-hmm. of the things he brings to the table and what Christian McCaffrey brings to the table.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. I'm with you, but they can't. It just financially doesn't make sense to trade Debo this year.
Oh, no doubt.
Or to get rid of Debo this year. Which is why if Ayuk will structure his contract this way, and this is where if Ayuk is like, no, I need that money up front, I need that money now, then that may not be there for them. But if he's going to say, yeah, I'll take a 3-year deal where you can backload it and I can hit free agency again before I hit 30 and I can do so after being a number one target for 3 consecutive years, maybe that's enticing to him. I'm with you, though, man. Unless it's a lot to pay for a group of wide receivers on a team that's going to finish in the bottom 3 in pass attempts.
In attempts, yes, exactly.
But it's the efficiency of those attempts, right?
Yes.
The Niners passing offense is not bad. Yeah, like, exactly.
Timing, exactly. getting open, immediate separation, catch radius. He's excellent.
And this is where my thought of you need to sign him continues, because let's go 2 years down the road. You have George Kittle's probably gone. Debo mm-hmm. Samuel's probably gone. Christian McCaffrey's 30. What are you giving your quarterback who, and God love Brock Purdy, I don't think that you can give him the Patrick Mahomes receiving core from this year and be like, yeah, hey, go average 10 yards an attempt. I'm not there with him. So
that's a whole nother can of worms.
Sure. But hey, by the way, real quick, let's pause this. How nice is it to not be talking about the quarterback this offseason?
Are you kidding me? Vontae is talking about who the Niners should be drafting and in what round. I'm dead serious.
At quarterback?
Yes. He wants Spencer Rattler. He's intrigued that Penix is sitting there. God love the man. And you know what? Here's what I would say.
I don't hate the idea.
I really like Brock Purdy. I don't even care if I have Patrick Mahomes. I come from the Bill Walsh school of
yes.
I draft the
yes.
quarterback every year. It may not be the second round. It may not be the third round, but I do take a quarterback every year because I think it's the most valuable piece of property you can have. Sam Darnold has been dog shit. Excuse my language. I shouldn't swear. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You can swear. You can swear on this podcast.
He just got a 1-year, $10 million deal and has been traded multiple times. And crazy. He got outplayed by Carson Wentz in week 18. I don't understand it.
Badly.
And the voice of the 49ers is out here like, did you see him throw passes? I did. We all did. No one was impressed. Like, what are you talking about? Right? Like, what sure. are you talking about? Sure. So there is something to be said. Like, these quarterbacks, Gardner Minshew is available every year. Every year. So if you find a Gardner Minshew late in a draft, it is valuable for your team.
Yeah. Dude, I wrote it at Niners Wire, dude. They should be drafting a quarterback this year.
Yes.
I think the Josh Dobbs signing is fun. Brandon Allen is a perfect third quarterback. Go get a rookie because maybe
stash him.
Because maybe maybe you do put him on the practice squad, but maybe they Nate Sudfeld Brandon Allen. And they're really good.
I like that.
So I'm with you, man. I would be 100% drafting a quarterback, but it's so nice not having to talk about what he did to Garoppolo. It's so nice not having to talk about who's going to start. Like, what's the injury situation? Like, bro, they're going to have a starting quarterback when they take the field for OTAs in April, and that's just going to be the quarterback.
What do you think he did in the Super Bowl? How well do you think he played in the Super Bowl?
Better than I thought he was going to.
Okay.
I thought he was fine. I didn't think he played. He didn't lose him the game.
I would agree.
There were a couple plays he definitely could have made where he could have helped win them the game.
Mm-hmm.
But the context that I think goes missing a lot of times with Purdy is that he was in his first full season as a starter and in his second year as a pro. And that's kind of nuts. And then he goes and acquits himself well against one of the best defenses in the league on the biggest stage he's ever played on. Like that was, of all the things that happened last year, that was the most encouraging thing for me. was that, hey man, this is a really, really tough spot. And was he great? I'm not trying to say like, wow, he was Joe Montana. Like, no, it's not that. But there was definitely a version of that game where we're sitting there on February, what was it, 11th? So February 12th or whatever, going, oh no, like they can't win a Super Bowl with him. And I think they can. I did not, and just for reference, after the 2019 Super Bowl, I was like, I don't think they can win a Super Bowl, Jimmy. And I don't think that about Brock.
Interesting.
At least not right now.
Yeah, interesting. Everybody wants to tell me what he is, what he isn't. I think he's really good, you know. Mm-hmm. In that game, he's going up against the greatest quarterback of all time. And it's just, I believe Patrick Mahomes, we're in the middle of watching the greatest quarterback ever. That's what I feel like I'm watching.
I'm with you, man. He's outrageous.
He's unbelievable. But
was there any doubt in your mind? And again, I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep bringing this back to the Super Bowl, but when they kicked that field goal with a minute 57 left, was there any doubt in your mind they were losing that game?
I said to Vontae the entire time, how are they only up X at the beginning of the game they've shut him down so much?
Yep.
Okay. Then they get the interception and go three and out and don't even get a field goal attempt. We're flirting with danger. And Vontae kept saying, you're going against the devil, you're flirting with the devil. I said to him at the end of the game, I said, you're either going to have one or two more possessions in this game. Either this is going to be your last one, and he's going to score on the other end a touchdown to win the game, or you're going to get the ball in overtime. One of the two has to be a touchdown, or you're losing this game for sure.
1,000%.
And then when they got the ball back, which I was, again, I'm fine because the defense was gassed in real time. Vontae and I disagreed in real time. But I was like, fine, you want to take the ball, fine.
I didn't hate it.
But if you're going to take it, to me, I have to get a touchdown. Because mm-hmm. I fear that man so much. If you give him four downs all the way up and down the field, like, you needed to know going into that possession, touchdown only, period. And it's easy to say, because what if it's 4th and 12, Joe? Are you still going for it? You had, like, every play needed to know it's four down territory. We have to score a touchdown. He's the best.
Yep. Yeah. And is Purdy on that level? No, and I don't think that's unfair. But I do think that, you know, going back to the kind of the start of the conversation, can they bounce back and win a Super Bowl next year? I have way more confidence that a Purdy led offense can do that as presently constructed than I did at any point in any of the previous 4 years.
I would agree with that, and then to furthermore this one, you know, I don't know what he's going to look like as time goes on, but what I saw from a guy was somebody who, when he's in the zone, he's as good as he gets.
Yes.
Like, when he's in the zone, there are times he gets a little rattled. He doesn't see the zone at times and kind of forces certain passes on these timing plays. And I think that only is going to be a problem against the elite defenses in the playoffs, right? During the regular season, he just carves people up for the most part. He carves people up. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man. I don't know what he can do to kind of like get better. Cause like, this is the conundrum they're going to be in when they pay him. I think Dak Prescott's really good. I do. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people hate on him. I think he's really good. But when you pay him $40 million and you have to lose two weapons and you don't have an offensive line like you did just a couple years prior because you're paying the quarterback that much, can he make up the difference? So, like, that's how I view once you pay those guys. Like, C.J. Stroud looks amazing right now. I think we underrated some of the weapons that they have. But when you give them $50 or $60 million, what's it going to look like as they round out the rest of that roster?
No doubt.
Even though it's a bottom dweller in the Houston Texans, what's it look like with the expectations of a $60 million quarterback? Like, Burrow, I watched him come in to Levi's. It was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. He was
so
down
good.
A receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I'm like, okay, that guy, I can pay him $50 million. He's going to elevate others. Josh Allen, I'll pay him $50 million. He'll elevate others. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if Lamar can do that. And I love Lamar.
Yeah. Here's my thing.
I'm going way down the quarterback rabbit hole.
No, it's fine. It's just started with me going, isn't it nice not having to talk about the quarterback?
I know.
that's why this is going to be such a big year from the 49ers standpoint, because I keep throwing out the $50 million thing, because I'm right there with you. That's part of why I think you need to pay Ayuk. He's like, dude, you got to pay him now, because if you're going to pay Purdy $50 million, you need an established weapon, number one receiver, because your offense may have to evolve this and that. I just think it's, I think that's paramount. But I also kind of wonder if we exit this year and it's like, yeah, you want to pay Purdy, but not $50 million, maybe 30. And
in a heartbeat.
Right. And if he wants more than that, go, okay, then go get it.
Yes.
Go then. And I don't think that would necessarily be out there for him. So that's what I'm kind of interested to see is, does Purdy command that and go, I need 50 or 60 or whatever the top of the market is? Or does he look at it and go, I need to make sure that this is a great team around me. So let me take 35 and ensure that there are weapons that can help elevate my game as much as I elevate this offense or whatever it is. I have no idea what his mindset would be. But
let me throw a player at you. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, if Tua Tagovailoa takes like 30, 35 million, mm-hmm. I think Purdy's better than him by a lot, actually. But mm-hmm. I think that's the kind of player, like, I need him to take not a 50 or $60 million yes. deal. Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I think that would kind of set the table for someone like Brock Purdy. I think Brock's acutely aware of what he can do, and he just seems to me like a guy that understands, take a little off top, and we can make the entire team around him better. Yeah. And you're seeing other quarterbacks talk about this. I mean, Jordan Love making whatever, $10 million next year. Doesn't Crazy. That help Green Bay infinitely?
So much. So much.
You know? So, I don't know. I'm with you, man. I'm very interested to see, you know, how much he ends up getting. But it is great. And here's the other thing. This is why I want Ayuk paid. This is a full offseason where he's actually healthy, Brock Purdy. I want him working with Brandon Ayuk all offseason. I think it screwed Debo with the whole Jimmy, Trey, you know, the hold in, not practicing. Ayuk has dominated in the last two training camps, and I want to see Purdy and Ayuk continue with that rapport. You heard Stafford and Cooper Kupp talk about, we threw 7 billion passes every single day.
Yeah.
But it does matter. Like, mm-hmm. it does matter to me. Like, and when I look at Patrick Mahomes and you know, why him and Kelce are so great, they're playing backyard football. And I want Ayuk and I want Brock Purdy to have that kind of rapport next year. I'm with you. The offense is going to have to evolve. That's why I keep coming back to Shanahan. Shanahan, like, what's the next step of your evolution as mm-hmm. a head coach and a play caller? Because mm-hmm. if you're married to Brock, you better start evolving. And I'm here for it. I want to see the growth.
Yeah. Yeah, me too, man. I am more optimistic about the next 3 years than I was after 2019.
Ooh, why is that?
Because I think that they have Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. Like, they're still going to be really good.
Yeah.
Over the next 3 years, and at that point, it was like, okay, you have Bosa, and you have Warner for sure, but beyond that, it was kind of like, all right, Debo had a nice little year, but you're losing Emmanuel Sanders, and you lost Kendrick Bourne, and Joe Staley might retire at this point. You know, you didn't know that they were getting Trent Williams, so it was just kind of they traded DeForest Buckner. Jimmy Garoppolo, I had major questions about after 2019, so it's kind of like, man, this could really fall apart quick. Whereas now, I trust their infrastructure more. And I think a core that features Warner, Bosa, Ayuk, hopefully a first round pick this year that can contribute right away. And then with Purdy, I feel like they are in a spot to be more stable than I thought they would be after 2019. And granted, I ended up being incorrect. You know, 2020 was a disaster because of the injuries, but 21 and 22 and 23 were obviously great. But
They started off slow.
Yeah. In 21 and 22 for sure. I think it's mostly the quarterback play for me that sticks out. I don't think Purdy's ever going to be a top five guy from just a pure, like, damn. Like, when you get, like, people watch football, like, people get it. When you watch Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes, you watch and you're like, phew.
Yeah.
Like, that's, whereas with the 49ers, it's more of a, what did that guy call Steph Curry? collaborative superstar.
Yeah.
Is that what he called him? I genuinely think that that's kind of the road that Purdy's heading down, where if you have the right team around him, he's going to be really great, and he's going to put up top three numbers, and he's going to be in MVP conversations and this and that. But if they don't surround him with that level of talent, then I'd be a little bit more wary. But they have a long enough track record of finding these guys who can produce in this offense that I'm not necessarily worried about replenishing the roster.
Let me give you the hottest of hot takes. I've watched the Super Bowl back, I believe, 8 times. Oh, this is LJ, by the way. Sorry. This is his first podcast appearance.
Oh, I love that.
The hottest of hot takes from the Super Bowl.
Oh, boy.
Had they won, there's an argument Chris Connolly could have been MVP.
Oh,
he played phenomenal in that game. Special teams. He made a catch. He was unbelievable.
Downed the punt at the one. Had a big tackle.
Oh my God. Almost recovered the fumble James fumble.
Oh yeah. Do you know who was going to win it though? Let's say Purdy's pass is complete on at the end of regulation. They kill the clock. Moody hits the field goal to win it. Juwan Jennings was winning MVP.
100%. 1,000%.
Or Jake Moody. Might have been Jake Moody too.
Can you believe how good he was? I still can't get over it.
He got on this very podcast. He caught a lot of shit this year. He caught so much this year, and he was just kind of that we had running bits about like when Colton McKivitz struggled, it was like the Cleveland game where Moody missed a game winner and the Niners offensive line just got whooped. It's like, man, if only they'd taken like an offensive lineman with the 99th pick or something, you know, just jokes like that. But then he comes out in the Super Bowl and it's just nails. It's like, all right, well, got him.
To your point on right tackle, I believe they need a tackle who can play right tackle for a year or two and then switch over to left. To me is that if I was looking at number one need for this team, if the roster is what it is today, to me, the number one need is a right tackle. I think that you have to invest in that position. You kind of – like, let's call it what it is. You kind of missed on McGlinchey. You got some games.
He was good.
He was fine. He was a C. Yeah. You know what I mean?
If he was a great player, they would have paid him.
He got $50 million from Sean Payton. That's when I knew Sean Payton didn't know what he was doing. But, like
– nutty.
It's insane money. But, like – right tackle to me is the most important. Why? And I'll tell you why. You have weapons. When you have a star quarterback, a young quarterback, you want to protect that man, right? After you get him some weapons. So get him the protection. And I also believe that, and this is something, I just want to throw this your way. With Aaron Donald retiring, with J.J. Watt retiring, I believe 32 or 33, this thing that Bosa's going to play till he's 35, 40, like – the Bosa run might not be as long as we think it is, and I just worry. I worry about what's going on, you know, with him. Like, do we have 5 years left of him?
Aaron Donald played 10 years.
Okay.
If Bosa plays 10 years, he has 5 more.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Aaron Donald's one of – right now, if it's between Bosa and Aaron Donald, I'm taking Aaron Donald.
Yes.
But Bosa's close, dude. Like, if you just look at the numbers – he's really close, you know, and the thing that separates them is fourth quarters in the NFC Championship game, Aaron Donald dominated, forced his team into the Super Bowl, and in the Super Bowl, he dominated.
Ball game.
Right?
From the interior, too.
Yes. Bosa played his ass off in the Super Bowl. He also went up against one of the greatest escape artists of all time, and that guy just kept making plays. And that fourth and whatever, read option play, just...
fourth and inches, just brutal. Like Nick, I love you, but you honestly think that they're giving it to Isaiah Pacheco to keep their season alive?
Kyle,
come on, brother.
James to J.R. Smith. Like, who's there? What's going on?
So bad.
How is that not a meme? I'm like, I turned to Bonte and I'm like, he just did the LeBron. He literally threw everyone under the bus when it was like, dog, everyone
that's
in
you.
The situation.
That's you, bro. That's you. Yep. Got to make
a
play.
I honestly, he had a down year. Still had double-digit sacks, whatever. Like, yeah, down here, good. Though.
Yeah,
very good. To me, as long as they're just not completely incompetent on that defensive line, they're going to be better.
Yeah, no doubt. On the offensive tackle thing, I am neck deep in mock drafts right now, dude.
Okay.
Just
So the Georgia guy who started 5 games? Is that
Amarius Mims. Amarius Mims and his fake 3-cone time. Yeah, did you follow that at all?
No.
Amarius Mims, 6'8", 340, whatever he is, runs a, I can't remember if it's a shuttle or a three cone, at just this like astronomical time, like this all time. Everybody's like, holy crap, he's OT1, watch out. Yeah. And then it turns out there was a clerical error and the person entered the wrong name and it was not him.
When you say three cone, I think of DK Metcalf having a slow three cone, and that's why he wasn't a first rounder. Going back to that draft, the Debo, AJ Bosa, Kyler Murray, yeah. Mm-hmm. I had three players I would have taken in the top five. I swear to God. Kyler, Bosa, and DK Metcalf.
Wow.
I remember doing those draft mocks, and I just – I love – 6'3", 6'4", 230, run like
and
the wind.
Moves, yeah.
Just, that's why I like Adunze. I watched him with Washington this year. I went to the Pac-12 championship game in Allegiant Stadium. He's an ass kicker.
He can play, bro.
Absolutely, he can play. A dominant player.
Yes.
If you're asking me for the one guy that I want to walk out of this draft with, if I'm any team looking for a wide receiver, it's him.
Yeah, Adunze is a dog for sure.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kyle and Chris from Candlestick Chronicles, and we're here to talk to you about Prize Picks. We love Prize Picks. I don't think, Chris, I don't think anything has ever enhanced my sports watching experience more than Daily Fantasy. I've had such a blast with it.
Even more so than having a podcast.
Yeah, way more than having a podcast. Like, okay. This is work. Prize Picks is the very best thing, and I know we talked about it all during football season, but y'all, it's not just a football app, it's not just a football site. Prize Picks has, I mean, anything that you can think of, you can build a daily fantasy sports entry in it. 2 to 6 players, regardless of the sport, you pick more or less on their stat projections, and then you watch the winnings roll in. Or in our case, you watch the losses pile up. But we're ready to bounce back this basketball season and baseball season or tennis or whatever you are into, you can build your entry. Again, 2 to 6 players, pick more or less on the stat projection. And it's my favorite thing. I had so much fun this year.
You don't have to be on an email chain with all of your friends.
It's a great point.
Hoping that they're going to be ready for the draft. You don't have to be scouring the waiver wire.
Nope.
When your best running back and receiver gets injured on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You don't have to argue with your friends about doing a snake draft or an auction draft. No.
You're just giving me anxiety thinking about all these things.
It's a week. It's, you know, you can be on there, you can make your picks and you can get out. You know, you don't need to do hours and hours of research. Not that you can't, if you want to do all your research, totally. More power to you, but, all of the dregs that come along with being in a normal fantasy operation, you don't have to worry about with Prize Picks. And that's what makes it fun.
And the thing that I love about Prize Picks specifically with Daily Fantasy is you're not playing against like sharp guys. You're not playing against thousands of other players. It is you and your entry, and that's it. And it's super easy to use. You go to prizepicks.com/candlestick. Use promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That's right. We're giving that to you. Prizepicks.com/candlestick. First deposit promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Jump in there today. You're going to have a great time. And like I said, it's not just for football season. So get locked in. Whatever sport you want, PrizePicks has got it at prizepicks.com/candlestick, and make sure to download the app as well. Super easy to use, super fun, and we think that you will love it just as much as we do. Again, that's prizepicks.com/candlestick, promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That's PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy. I cannot, so Pro Football Focus, oh, he's a dog, literally, UW.
Yeah.
Pro Football Focus has their mock draft simulator, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will mess with the settings as much as humanly possible, and I cannot get one of the top offensive tackles to fall to the 49ers. I just can't do it. So I think I, when you go look, in fact, I wrote about this at Niners Wire today, Thursday. If you go look at every 49ers draft is 17 is defensive line and linebacker in the first round. And that was when they had nothing on that roster. They went front seven, defensive line and linebacker. 2018, offensive tackle, because that was their number one need. They needed to keep their quarterback upright. 19, defensive end with Nick Bosa. 20, a defensive tackle with Javon Kinlaw, and then they trade up for Brandon Ayuk because they had lost Kendrick Bourne and they had lost Emmanuel Sanders. They literally didn't have another starting
and
wide
receiver. Jalen Hurd was
cooked
play
at that point. Yeah. So Jalen Hurd was not a player they could lean on. So they trade up for Brandon Ayuk. They go skill position there. And then 2021, we know about the trade up for Trey Lance, mm-hmm. where they were picking, what were they, 15, 12?
They were
high enough in the first round that they could trade up and do that, anticipating that they would not be that high in the first round again anytime soon, and they were correct. So I think when you follow that pattern, you go, okay, they're either gonna take a defensive end who's falling, or a defensive lineman who's falling, or I think this is what I think they're going to do. I think they're going to trade up and try and jump in front of, I think, like the Packers need an offensive tackle at 25 or something like that. I think they're going to trade up, because that I'm with you, man, with what they've done in free agency at this point. Yeah. Give up 31, give up one of your fourths or your third, get up there, get the guy you want at offensive tackle, and then do linebacker or defensive end or whatever it is just later in the draft and start throwing darts. That to me is the move.
What do they have, 10 picks currently, or is 10. It 9?
You're not, 10, okay. Yeah.
If they walked away with 6 or 7 guys from this draft, at least 4 of them have to be players for them. And when I mean players, I mean mm-hmm. like in the cards for the next couple of years. You're not going to be an impact starter right away. There's just so many starters already on this team. This is not the Texans where you can just walk on in and there's 5 spots. You know what I mean?
Like,
but they need 4 guys. They literally need 4 guys. I look at this draft the way Bill Walsh approached the 1988 draft. This mm-hmm. is to restock for the next couple of years.
Dude, I've said this on this podcast probably 10 times, but it's, you look at last year's draft, it's potential Tate disaster. Brown. Potential disaster. Maybe Moody's good. Okay, fine. Jair Brown, I think, can start.
I think so. Yeah, I like him.
I think Jair Brown can start. But you have 2 linebackers who just didn't play and 2 tight ends
like
who just
Jalen
didn't.
Brown. I'm sure, pissed sure, off that but they didn't play Jalen Graham all year. Like that. You know what? Keep going. I'm sorry.
He looked like an NFL player in the preseason for sure, but he didn't play all year. And maybe they love him, and that's what it is. But if they don't find a starter out of that draft, and then do what you said here in this year's draft, where you come away with 3-4 guys who can be contributors at some point down the line, I keep going back to the 2012 draft. I know, dude, LJ feels me the whole Niners draft stuff. No, it's fine. This is exactly how I feel looking at the Niners drafts from the last couple of years. But no, so I go back to with this and the how essential it is that they find, whether it's D. Winters or Jalen Graham or Cam Latu or Braden Willis or whoever it is. Robert Beal, I think, is going to get a real opportunity at defensive end this year. Whoever it is needs to be able to contribute. And then this year they need to find a player, specifically an offensive tackle, but players who can contribute, because I always go back to the 2012 draft and how much of a disaster that draft was for the 49ers. And then you fast forward to 2014 and they have nothing.
Nothing.
They have guys retiring. They have players leaving, and they have nothing in the cupboard. So that's why they need something from the 23 draft, and then I'm right there with you, man. This year's draft has to be, it can't be, yeah, hey, here's this cornerback who can contribute on special teams. Like, no, man, you need a cornerback that like can start. You need a defensive
Cameron
end.
Latu.
Yeah.
You bring up like Cameron Latu, what are we doing? You're very particular, and you whiffed on all these. There are a lot of these fan accounts, okay, that have Twitter accounts, Instagram, etc. Mm-hmm. Various 49er fan accounts. Mm-hmm. The amount of people losing their minds over Charlie Warner. There have been 12 catches by a backup tight end in the last four seasons, I believe, for the 49ers. 12. 12.
It's got to be more than that. It's got to be
I'm
more
not
than
kidding.
That.
It's Ross Dwelly. And it's Charlie Warner.
Yeah.
Like no one else. Willis, Latu, none of these guys can get on the field.
Bro.
I mean, it's just.
Charlie Warner in 4 years at the Niners had 11 catches for 120 yards. George Kittle has 9 games with more production than that.
Hence where I'm going with this.
That's crazy.
That they need to stop. And how many running backs have they missed? Not even missed.
Too many.
Can't play.
Too many.
Trey Sermon, Ty Davis Price, can't play.
Brutal. Just brutal.
But this okay. So you brought up the two running backs, Jalen Graham and D. Winters. This is a great example of Shanahan and the leaning on the veterans. And this is where I believe Steve Kerr boxed himself in when it comes to the Warriors. As I do cross sport analogies, you have to trust the young guys because some of these old guys aren't good. Period. In base defense, Oren Burks was horrific in the Super Bowl. Horrific.
He was really bad.
He was pointing. I was at the game. He was pointing the entire game, as I'm trying to feed my son here and yell, he was pointing the entire time to Gibson pre-snap. They couldn't get lined up. No one's guarding Kelsey on a key third or fourth down as he does a simple little crosser. Dominic Flanagan fouls. Are you
Demetrius.
Kidding me? Whatever. Whatever. He doesn't deserve to have me know his name properly because he's not good enough. But this is where I go. You've been dealing with this Achilles tendonitis for Dre Greenlaw for the final back half of the season. You should have been working in these games where you had big leads, working in an extra running back, working in these young linebackers so that if they were forced into duty in a playoff game, you're not subject to having Oren Burks out there. And I personally believe they short-sighted themselves. They did the same thing with Logan Ryan. I don't know why they felt the need to play Logan Ryan. Well, it made no sense out of nowhere.
Insane.
Am I tripping?
I get that Ambry Thomas had been struggling a little bit, particularly with penalties in the two playoff games. But Logan Ryan, that's the move.
Here's the thing about Thomas. He made a couple of nice plays this year. Watch the games. He had a big interception against the Rams. And I know he played himself out of the rotation. I get it. But Logan Ryan was.
And that's. He but wasn't that. But
in the
okay.
NFL.
But that's right. But that's the bigger problem. Right. He was literally on a cruise. So that's the bigger problem, though. It's not that they looked at Ambry Thomas and went, he hasn't played great. He had the penalty on the third and long against the Packers where he had good coverage and just tackles a guy out of nowhere.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe he was a little shook, but the fact that their roster was such that the player they're turning to in that situation is 33-year-old Logan Ryan, who, by the way, was not only not in the NFL, but hadn't played cornerback in three seasons. That's their answer at nickel?
Took horrific angles in the Detroit game. It's horrific angles. I mean, but that's where they were at. I mean, when I saw, what was the guy? Joseph Day. And I go, I've seen more of Joseph Day in this game. And it was only 11 snaps because we counted. Bonte got mad at me. And I go, it's 11 too many. How does a team that spends 45% of its money on defensive line play Joseph Day that much in a must-win game? There was the final drive of the game in the fourth quarter. Bosa is on the sidelines in the Super Bowl. What are you doing? Chris Jones does not go to the sideline. What is going on here? But again, to me, that's we wore you guys down during the regular season. How many times did they have a 2-touchdown lead? And Christian McCaffrey got 5 or 6 touches on a meaningless ice-it-out game drive.
Do you know what all of that stems from? Remember week one?
Trust young
remember
player?
Remember week one, 2021?
Oh, when they let Detroit get back into the game.
Mm-hmm. I literally think that's what drives Kyle Shanahan's.
But Jordan Mason is a good player.
For,
I don't dude, understand dude, why they don't.
Jordan Mason, him. Elijah Mitchell, somebody.
It drives me crazy. So, Danny Gray is a great example, right? Danny Gray,
is
why is he on this team if you don't like him? What are we? Why are we wasting a roster spot?
Well, I don't think he's going to be after this year or after this offseason.
You get what I'm saying?
Sure.
And like yeah, Ronnie Bell. Ronnie Bell is not a returner. Ronnie Bell is a receiver. You barely used him. He looked good in the New York Giants game. And then went on like a milk carton for 3 months. And then you're like, sure. I don't know. He can't return kicks because he's not a returner. Like, what are you doing? But hey, let's run some routes for Ray Ray.
Ray Ray McCloud catching strays on the pod. That's crazy.
But I'm the guy who's like, why is this guy in right now? Season on the line. Debo is on the sidelines, and it's
Debo was
Ray
hurt.
Ray McCloud. No, I know he was hurt, but I'm saying it's Ray Ray McCloud, Juwan Jennings, and Ayuk out there. What are we doing?
I have no idea. Could have been future Super Bowl MVP Chris Conley.
Well, the worst part is watching these like garbage players for the Niners, like Richie James or Jerick McKinnon. Like, oh, they made plays in the Super Bowl. It's like, God, I hate you, Patrick Mahomes. I hate you. If there's one receiver who I hate more than any other who's won a Super Bowl ring, it's Cedric Wilson when he won one with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I hated that guy.
Oh,
hated
dude,
him.
Not going out of bounds in St. Louis?
How did you know?
Dude.
The game, Aeneas Williams almost killed Terrell Owens.
Hey, can I give you, before we get out of here, you've been super generous with your time, and I really appreciate it.
I'm feeding a little
bit. No, dude, you're doing great. Can I give you a name, two names to be excited about in the NFL draft?
Sure.
I'm actually just gonna give you one. I need you to watch this guy for me. Grab a YouTube video and watch 2 minutes. Go watch Jaheim Bell from Florida State.
Okay.
And tell me that dude. I am not a Debo comp guy because I don't think anyone's really ever going to be Debo again. But
he's Percy Harvin meets Anquan Boldin.
But bro, go watch Jaheim Bell move.
Okay.
And then consider that he caught like 98 passes and had 84 carries in college. And just go watch it and watch the way he moves and tell me it's not like, oh, that's kind of interesting. He's a fascinating player.
What did you think of, by the way, we got Chase Young this year, and you and I have had a insider's text thread about Chase Young. Was I right about him?
Yeah, I caught an L there. I'm holding the L.
I'm not even trying to do that to you, but like he disappointed even me. Like I thought he would be better. I honestly thought he'd be better than
me too. I obviously did.
He has no spin move.
So for those of you that are unaware, Joe and I got into a discussion. About Chase Young when he was coming out of the draft, and I think I said like he had he was better than Bosa, had better tools than Bosa or something. Yeah. I made some wild ass.
He was a monster.
Yeah, and you were like, I don't know, man. He's pretty stiff. Like I don't know if he has like secondary moves. He's just kind of like, yeah, he's a crazy athlete. And I was like, no, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And then he gets hurt and is kind of like, okay, well, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. And then, dude, it just dogging it in the NFC title game is nuts. Not being able to stay on the field, like the fact that Cleveland Furl was starting over him
and was infinitely
incredibly
better.
Is
I was begging for Arden Key to come back.
It's not that, and it wasn't like, oh man, Chase Young sucks, he shouldn't be in the league.
No,
he was a rotational edge rusher, and I was expecting so much more than that.
I totally agree with you. And here's the thing that pissed me off more than anything is that. He looked even more stiff than I ever thought. He was so – he can't bend around a house, let alone a right tackle. I'm serious. I couldn't believe it. Kyle, I could not believe it. Like, it really is. And the one thing that I've realized is, like – and I love college football. I love college football. It's okay, big guy. I know. He's crying. I know. But it's
hard – he was expecting more bend from Chase Young, too.
I know. It's hard to see what translates – from college to the NFL. I think the where the hashes are, the spread style of offense, the fact that there aren't a lot of linemen with their hands in the dirt. There's just, I think now more than ever, like you're going to see wild misses. You've always seen wild misses. I think you're going to see even crazier ones. And now you have a lot of like the transfer portal. Like, okay, maybe Jaden Daniels ends up being a superstar. I was never impressed with him at Arizona State. And he runs around, he makes a lot of plays. But if he stepped into the NFL and looked amazing, I would be shocked because, like, even though he did it in the SEC, was that really the SEC we've come accustomed to? Was it really? Was it really?
Mm.
Right?
I don't think
and
so.
And I love the SEC.
It's not quite the same.
No. No. Like, who was the guy from the Georgia, the quarterback who went MIA for the Rams this year?
Oh.
He won a bunch of championships.
Stetson Bennett.
Yeah. We all knew he was going to be garbage. It was like, well, the Brock Purdy effect. You know, he could be good. Like, exactly.
I'm 26 years old. Come on, man.
I mean, like, even C.J. Stroud. Like, I like C.J. Stroud. Bryce Young was so good in college. I don't think people understand. So good in college.
Yeah.
He looks smaller than me on a football field.
Wild.
Right?
Like, I knew he was here's what I kept telling people when they'd be like, is he really that small? And I'd be like, yeah, but it's not going to, like, look like it. It's always, like, we always have a picture in our mind that's way exaggerated. And then you watch him, it's like that's him? Oh, my God.
You know what it is? So it's small. A skinny frame as opposed to the Russ and the Kyler thick
legs. Yes.
I think that makes a big difference in how I view you.
Like, no doubt.
Even Aaron Rodgers, he's only, like, what, 6'1 or 6'2? But his lower body seems so thick for how, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Alex Smith never really filled out, so he always looked frail.
Sneaky tall, though. Sneaky
Absolutely
tall guy.
Absolutely sneaky tall. Yeah. But, like, I look at J.J. McCarthy this year, I wouldn't touch J.J. McCarthy with a 10-foot pole.
I want no parts of J.J. McCarthy, dude.
Thank you.
I don't – and smarter people than me are like, he's might be that dude. Like, all right, I'll be wrong on it. But
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the guy I do like – he's got to go to the right. I mean, all these quarterbacks have to go to the right spot. I do like Michael Penix. I'm a Caleb guy. I think Caleb's special.
I think he's going to be a dog. I'm with you.
Oh, he's a beast. And I love the situation he's going to go to. I do not like Spencer Rattler like Bonte. Bonte loves him. I do not like Spencer Rattler.
I feel like I'm being bamboozled by the pre-draft process. Like, we've watched
Spencer every year.
We've watched Spencer Rattler play football.
I know.
We know that Spencer Rattler is not great at football, but he makes a couple of throws in his pro day, and it's kind of like, ooh, got a little touch. The arm talent's there.
It's the Sam Darnold.
Dude.
Sam Darnold. Colin Cowherd can't give up Sam Darnold.
But neither can the Vikings, apparently. No, but here's the deal. Like, Spencer Rattler might wind up in a situation like Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't go until the fourth round, and he winds up in... Pittsburgh, and they jettison Fields and Wilson next year, and now, hey, here's Spencer Rattler in this prime spot, and all of a sudden everybody's like, how do we miss on Spencer Rattler?
Well, look at Baker. I was ready to throw Baker out with the bathwater a couple years ago. And you know what? To his credit, he's matured. I think he found a good system, and he just fits. Like, right now,
Baker can play, dude.
I think that they're the class of that division. Now, we'll see what happens with Kirk Cousins, but, like, I'm with you, man. Like, it's the NFL is the best. I don't care what anyone says. It's the greatest drug on the planet.
It's great. The fact that we can sit here and have in-depth conversations in the middle of nothing happening on the NFL calendar is a testament to that. And it's a testament to you. Really appreciate your time, man. Always love talking ball with you. Let's do this more often than once in a year on a podcast.
And can we play catch soon? All right, I got some.
Yes, I would love that. I would love that so much.
All right, love you, buddy. I'm really proud of all the work that you've been doing. I mean that. And call me anytime.
That sounds good, Joe. See you, LJ.
See you, bud.
See you, boys. Thanks, guys.